are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, with you once again. This is a Tuesday episode. It is a Winky Tuesday. My guest today is Mr. Nick Winkler. I'm going to bring him on in just 1 second. We've got a lot to talk about. Unfortunately, a lot more than we expected to talk about here on this Tuesday edition of the program. I do want to remind everybody first to follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can find Nick on Twitter if you want to follow him. You might as well at Bay Area Wink. Email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. And tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. And if your friend's not a 49ers fan, shame on them. But let them know they've got their own show in the Locked On Podcast Network. No matter the sport, no matter the team, we've got you covered here daily on the Locked On Podcast Network. Almost every sport and every team. All right. Let's not waste any more time. Let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Yeah, what's going on, man? How are you?
Worst birthday ever.
Is your birthday Tuesday or Wednesday?
It was on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday was your birthday. That's right. Okay. Oh, God, that is the worst birthday ever.
Man, it's so brutal. I was so excited. I wake up, hanging out with the kids, just getting pumped, ready to go. 10 o'clock rolls around. So many expectations. That is just like, that opening drive was so pitiful. When Kittle dropped that first pass, you're like, oh, it's going to be a long day, isn't it? And then, man, it was like right away, like, oh, yeah, this isn't looking good at all. And then, you know, obviously they made a good comeback, and you're starting to feel some hope. And then you're like, Jimmy G, what are you doing? And as soon as he went down, I was like, oh, no. Look at him grab the back of his leg. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I just walked out of the room.
I didn't even see the leg part. I just saw him get hit hard, and I was like, oh, he just got his bell rung. No big deal, whatever. Maybe he's going to have to miss a play. He'll come back on the field. But even if he did miss a play, that was a fourth down play. So C.J. Beathard would have the biggest play of the game on his shoulders either way. And he made the throw. Beathard made the throw to score the touchdown on what was one of many BS calls in that football game, too. So just a lot of bad from the first play of the game, the drop from George Kittle. Just throughout, just a lot of not good things continually happened to the 49ers on Sunday.
Yeah, just one of those days, too, where, like, every single flag that's thrown, you know is going to go against the Niners.
Right.
And you know it's going to give them a first down, and you know they're going to score a touchdown, you know, in a couple plays, if not in the very next play. But, yeah, that offensive pass interference call made me so upset. I mean, it was just such baloney. And what a great – it's funny, too, because the angle of the television, too, when Beathard threw it, it kind of looked like a duck. But maybe we're just used to seeing bullets from Garoppolo that we see this throw from C.J. Beathard. It's like, oh, that's a touch pass. Okay, I see what he did there. All right. And then, oh, I'm so excited. Touchdown. No. You want to ruin my birthday again? Cool. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and if 49ers fans were disappointed and annoyed by Jimmy Garoppolo the last couple of weeks, he was kind of holding on to the ball a little bit more, trying to let his receivers get open, and it led to some sacks. That's C.J. Beathard's game. He holds on to the ball a long time. He's not worried about the pass rush to his own detriment because he gets hit a ton, and that's his game. So that's what the 49ers are going to look like now under C.J. Beathard. It's going to be different, and I think what you can expect is some probably stacked boxes because right now the 49ers have – tied with Zeke Elliott, the league's leading rusher as far as yardage goes with Matt Breida. And you know the 49ers are going to want to try to run the ball, and teams are not going to want to let them do that. So it's going to be put on C.J. Beathard, and he's going to hang back in the pocket, and he's not afraid to let it go. He doesn't have a cannon arm or anything. He doesn't have the arm talent that Jimmy Garoppolo has, but we might see some big plays because we're going to have one-on-ones on the outside, and we'll see if he can hit Goodwin like he did last year in his only win as an NFL starting quarterback against the New York Giants where they hit that long touchdown pass.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that this week Beathard needs to work on the play action a lot because that's going to be the time. If they're back in the shotgun, you know, they're going to have no trouble knowing exactly what's going to happen. But like you said, I think they're going to be stacking the box, stopping Breida. I mean, Breida's looked great. He's been a wonderful bright spot to this season so far. And, you know, you said it. I was listening to your recap show. And, you know, this is where we expected them to be, 1-2. You know, but it's the loss of Jimmy G for a year. It's just such a downer. Because, like, yeah, the game was almost lost at that time. He's trying to make a play. You got to like that. You got to like the effort. But come on, dude. You're the franchise quarterback. They gave you a ton of money. They want you in this game. This is one game. You know, you can't give up your entire season. NFL's going out of its way making ridiculous calls to protect the quarterback. Like, don't cut back in to gain one extra yard. It's frustrating. It really is frustrating to see. But being a competitor, you know what he's trying to do. You get it. But at the same time, it's like, you got to use your head, man. And that's when the inexperience really comes in. This is a guy who has very few starts in the NFL, even though he's been in the league, you know, 4 years now. It's like, he doesn't know any better. You know, it's that gamer in him coming out. Like, I'm going to get this first down. I'm going to cut back. I'm going to fake him out. No, you didn't, Jimmy.
And he still hasn't played that much NFL football, and I think that's the toughest thing about all of this.
He doesn't know that speed very well. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because it sucks for 2018 to lose your starting quarterback, you know, and last year for the Packers, they lose Aaron Rodgers. But you know that Aaron Rodgers is going to get healthy, come back the next year, and you still have Aaron Rodgers. But Jimmy Garoppolo still needs that extra, that last bit of development. You know, that last just game experience is the one thing he still lacks. And coming into 2019, he's still going to lack that. And it's disappointing because that team needs to come together, and they hadn't yet over 3 weeks. And they're not going to have a chance to as a full unit with their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. And so there's still going to be just that lingering question mark going into next year. Is the team ready to go? Are they ready for prime time? Because Jimmy Garoppolo is still is a neophyte as far as playing NFL games goes, even though he has everything. He's a good player, and I don't question that at all about him. He just needs those reps, and he's not going to get those now.
Yeah, it's kind of like what happened last year in Houston with Deshaun Watson. I mean, he was off to a much better start than Garoppolo was this year, but it was like, okay, this guy's got it. All right. Oh, we got to wait till next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now he's off to a really slow start this year, too. So it's just like you worry about that sort of thing. Wentz got hurt last year. He came back. He didn't look that great in his first game. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he'll probably be back in time, hopefully, to start next season. But that's a long road ahead of him. And, yeah, there's a lot of recovery time with those ACLs, man.
Okay, we've got to get to more on C.J. Beathard, more on Jimmy Garoppolo. We've got a mailbag to get to as well on this episode of Locked On 49ers. But first, I got to let everybody know about my bookie. And my bookie is slammed with new bettors at this time of the year. Fresh football season and lots of crazy betting action, lots of crazy outcomes and scores. You think you know what's going on 1 week and it completely flips on you. So my bookie is slammed with new bets, new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you are willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time to my bookie, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know who's going to win, you've got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer to get $25 extra free play on deposits over $100. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000. In free play. If you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get that extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I was asked on Twitter, and I was asked a lot of things on Twitter, and we're going to get to a mailbag segment here in a bit, but I was asked for some silver linings about this Jimmy Garoppolo situation, and I think
Did you find any?
give
C.J. Beathard some time just in case the Garoppolo goes down again next year? What else could it be?
Look, Kyle Shanahan fully believes in C.J. Beathard. They traded up to draft him in the third round.
Like, you're right.
Kyle Shanahan likes C.J. Beathard as much as C.J. Beathard's own family, practically, right?
Right, he sends him Christmas cards.
As much as the Hall of Famer Bobby Beathard, his grandfather. And so he believes in him. And he's a tough guy, and I know just watching him play last year and what he went through in a really rough situation, the team respects him. I don't think he has the talent that Jimmy Garoppolo has, but maybe he's developed a little bit more. Maybe he's ready to go, and maybe the 49ers can win some games. You know, it's not like the 49ers are just going to fold and lose all 13 of the games they have coming up on the schedule. So they're going to still fight. They're still going to play. They still have all the talent that was going to be on the field with Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's not like it's over. And we get to see C.J. Beathard develop now instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe he develops to the point where you're like, okay, man, we have a really good backup quarterback here. Or 49ers fans might be saying, oh my gosh, he's so good. Maybe we can trade him in the offseason. and get right. something for him. You know, maybe he's the next Jimmy Garoppolo in that vein. Or maybe, unlikely, you're like, oh, let's trade Jimmy Garoppolo. The CJ guy is right. better, you know. But so, but in reality, yeah.
Totally. You found that silver lining.
Yeah, I tried hard. I dug for that one. But in reality, we get to see him develop instead. And maybe that can be a positive right. for the 49ers just for, you know, just having a better backup than they would have had with him not playing. And then draft capital. If the 49ers don't win games, they're going to have a higher draft pick. Get a better player. Maybe trade out of there. The one thing that you can do when you have a high draft pick, maybe if you don't have that big-time player there on the board for you to take, maybe another team wants to get a quarterback. And if you've already got your quarterback, then you can trade back. And you can gain some capital there. And so get even more picks from it. So maybe this turns into not only a higher pick this year, maybe this turns into multiple first-round picks because the 49ers don't have to draft their quarterback. And it can really help you in the long term. For the short term, though, it's really rough. And the other thing I would say is play the young guys too. Maybe if a team if a team comes calling for like, and I like Pierre Garçon, but if a team comes calling, they need a veteran wide receiver. Let's play Dante Pettis. Let's play Richie James. Let's develop the young guys so that when Jimmy Garoppolo comes back, everyone else is that much better. And you go for it in 2019. But I think they're gonna play it straight and try to win some games here, which is the right way to play it going forward. Because again, like you mentioned. 1-2. That's what we had penciled in for the 49ers after 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. You know, Beathard won that game against the Giants. He snapped that losing streak. It wasn't Garoppolo. He wasn't in there yet. And I saw him in the locker room. I was at that game. I got to go into the locker room afterwards. He's a leader. He really is. Those guys believe in C.J. Beathard. And, you know, that's super important. And, you know, maybe they could kind of, you know, shape the game to where he's doing a lot of quick passes and a lot of things like that. Maybe it turns into more of like an Alex Smith sort of offense, you know, where it's not, you're not trying to get the ball down the field because he doesn't have that big arm. It's more quick release, a lot of play action, a lot of tight end action, a lot of rolling out, get the guy on the move, get him out of that pocket. You know, that way he doesn't just stand in there and get hit. I mean, Shanahan's a genius. He really knows what he's doing. So I've got a lot of faith that he's going to make some good calls here. He's going to write up a good game plan for this weekend. And I'm not, you know, obviously it's devastating. You don't want your star quarterback, you know, I'd call him a star, but, you know, what's he really done in the NFL? Not a whole lot. I mean, let's be honest here. The guy's got very limited action, and he, you know, he's won a few games, but it was at the end of a really bad season, and it was on a really great team in New England. And, you know, maybe this is C.J. Beathard's time. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's back this guy. Let's support him. Let's call him our captain and go forward and just have faith that Shanahan will get the most out of his guys. And I'm with you, dude. It's Richie James time. Let's get him in there.
I want to see some playmakers, but the one thing that I'm loving about this is about 11 minutes into this podcast, and we're trying as hard as we can to talk each other into C.J. Beathard, and it's pretty awesome how far this is going.
I mean, that's my quarterback.
I love it.
I'll say this
about Beathard, and like you mentioned about the Kyle Shanahan point, I think is big because, okay, what's worked so far? The 49ers won a football game this season with Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, and lost two. What has been working in offense? A lot of the things that have worked in the passing game were Kyle Shanahan schemed up the touchdown last week or the touchdown Sunday with Kyle Juszczyk. That wasn't like a great route with a great throw. That was a dude that was wide open. That was a schemed open play, right? In the running game, that had nothing to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. The running game has been great, although that is a factor just because teams are going to, I think, really focus on the run a little bit more when they play against the 49ers now. Also, for two reasons. First, seeing how successful the 49ers have been running the ball and respecting Matt Breida in the run game a little bit more, and then obviously knowing it's C.J. Beathard that's in there instead of Jimmy Garoppolo and daring him to beat them. So they're going to have to play a little bit differently. But you still have a chance. The 49ers are a better team than they were when C.J. Beathard was the quarterback last year. So it's not done. It's not a lost season yet. But it's hard to predict a bunch of wins coming up for the 49ers. That's just reality.
No, you're exactly right. And you mentioned a really cool word there, and it was scheme. And how amazing did Kansas City's offense look? I mean, just the play calls and the designs and the guys moving – this way and that and rolling left and throwing right and everyone's going, it's just, man, they look like they're on a whole different level of just intensity and creativity, man. It was, I hated that it was against my team, but I'm not going to lie. Like it was kind of cool to watch, whoever drew those plays up and Mahomes and they look like the real deal, man.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything, scheme and the talent and the quarterback they have and all the receivers he has to throw to. And they were
just confident,
so loose, so free. And during the game, I referenced the Golden State Warriors. It was like, this looks like the Golden State Warriors playing against the 1998 Utah Jazz. Like the 1998 Utah Jazz, if I'm not mistaken, were a game away from winning the world championship. So that was a good team. But it was like, okay, you can't do Garoppolo to Juszczyk pick and rolls and get back in this football game when you're playing against the Golden State Warriors, who are just chucking and just playing free.
Stockton Malone.
So that's what it looked like. It looked like Stockton Malone versus the 2015, or at least the Nelly Ball era Golden State Warriors, right? It was just free on offense, and they were just scoring at will. And it was like, how are we going to stop this team? And then finally they did get some stops in the second half, but you know they put on the brakes a little bit too, Kansas City did. So I didn't feel like the 49ers were really ever going to get back and win that game. It was starting to get a little bit close, and that's why you always hate that. You know, that's the saying, prevent defense prevents you from winning, right? So I think the Chiefs had no problem with letting the 49ers run the ball in the second half when they were that far down. And then eventually they started to inch back, and it could have been close if they did score that last touchdown and had a chance to get the ball back one more time. But it never really felt that close to me watching the game. I thought, well, they could just turn it back on whenever they want, but they're just, you know, they just – put on the brakes a little bit at the end of that game, trying to preserve a win.
Right. They're just like, okay, yeah, no, we'll let you guys score a little bit. It's fine. No big deal. Eat up the clock. Sure. Yeah, let's get this game over with. We'll move on to week four.
So before we get to the mailbag, there is the talk that Kyle Shanahan, he talked about the quarterbacks that they're going to be working out. So Nick Mullins got called up from the practice squad. So it's going to be Beathard Mullins this week, and they're going to work out some quarterbacks. One of those being Tom Savage. A couple of the other names that Kyle Shanahan threw out there was T.J. Yates, Kellen Clemens, and Matt Moore. Do those names excite you?
Any of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, here's the thing for me. It's like, do you even want a better quarterback than C.J. Beathard? I think the best thing the 49ers can do is play C.J. Beathard. See what you have.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not even the long-term backup. Maybe he's so bad, it's like, okay, we got to find a new backup too. Or maybe he's so good, it's like he has all this value. So to me, you don't want to bring in you have to bring in a guy because they need a third quarterback, you know, because you have two on the roster and one on the practice squad. So maybe that guy's better than Nick Mullins, they think, and he's the backup. But none of those names are anybody I would play over C.J. Beathard at this point. And I wouldn't want I was asked the question about bringing in trading for Nick Foles or Tyrod Taylor or something like that. I wouldn't want a better quarterback. I wouldn't want to – I don't want to say accidentally. I don't want to win – you know, if I'm a 49ers fan, I don't really necessarily want to win more games if it's not a march to the playoffs. Let's put it that way. You know, so like what's winning a couple games? I would play for the draft, develop the guys you have rather than trying to just eke out a couple of extra wins because you brought in a veteran quarterback that might win one more game when it's a lost season. You're not going to the postseason anyway.
Right. I don't like the idea of going out and trying to get anybody. Yeah, if these guys on the street that you can bring in, but you're not going to start them right away anyways because the scheme is so complicated. You know, you're definitely going Beathard. Mullins already knows it as well, so you got an easy backup there. And, yeah, you get a practice squad guy. I mean, you know, you mentioned some pro quarterbacks. That's basically what they are. They're professional guys. They can get out there. They're not going to wow you. They're not going to do anything special. They're a body. They're a seat filler at the Emmys, you know, like, They're going to take care of business until the man gets back next year.
I've never heard that one. I like that one a lot. Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And so going back to my draft grades, my draft reports, the 2014 NFL draft, my quarterback rankings, I really like Jimmy Garoppolo. He's my number two quarterback. You can go to my pinned tweet to find out how I felt about Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014. And all the way down at number 13 is a guy named Tom Savage, who got some hype before the draft. Not a player I was impressed with at all. My exact summary for Tom Savage as the 13th best quarterback in the draft, which is borderline undraftable grade for me, it was, I don't get the hype with Savage. Doesn't stand out. He's got a strong arm, not much else, sluggish feet. He transferred twice, so you have to wonder why he couldn't stick at his first two schools. Rumors that he will go in the top 40, I just don't see it. So I was just like, what does anybody see in this guy? And apparently Kyle Shanahan liked Tom Savage a lot in the 2014 draft, and he also liked Derek Carr, and he also liked Jimmy Garoppolo a lot. And so I'm glad he got Jimmy Garoppolo first and not Tom Savage.
I think your scouting report could have just read, not Savage.
Yeah.
Just not.
Yeah. We've already got one Savage guy. That is Reuben Foster. And
Right. Oh, God, how bad was the tackling just all day, too? Oh, it's hard to watch.
It was brutal. It was such a it was like, again, the 49ers have played like 2.5 extra preseason games as far as being sloppy and not looking like a unit of guys playing together. They don't look like a team. They look like a collection of players, which is frustrating. The offensive line's coming along, which I love, and they're starting to create some holes.
Right.
And the running game's starting to look good. And that, I was a little bit worried about that. I wasn't really worried about C.J. Beathard. I thought the defense would have taken a bigger step too. So, yeah, there's some things that just, you got to see them come together. And one thing I've seen a lot this week, and look, this was the hottest offense in the NFL, a record-setting offense through 3 weeks. But a lot of people are like calling for Robert Saleh's head now. I've seen a lot of that on Twitter.
I don't think it's that time. I get it. Like, the second half against Detroit was kind of nasty too. You know, they gave up a lot, but that was probably similar to what Kansas City was doing to us this weekend. You know, it was like, yeah, just let them just like eat up some clock, keep it in front of you. You know, just let them chip away a little bit. Okay, oh, it's getting a little close. Oh crap. What now? But this, I mean, you know, this weekend's going to say a lot about what Saleh can do. Can he bounce back? Can he draw something up? You got Reuben Foster, who played in his first game, and it looked like his first game. You know, he made some great plays, but he also made, you know, some bad missed tackles as well, and just got a little overexcited a couple times. And, you know, this is a Chargers team in L.A., so it's basically a home game for the 49ers. They're back on the West Coast, and they're 1-2 as well. Their only win came against a pretty bad Buffalo team. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll see. What scares me is, you know, Phillip Rivers having all day to stand back there and just pick that secondary apart, especially with Sherman now set to miss 2 or 3 weeks. So it's a banged-up football team for the 49ers, and it may get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I do worry about that pass defense. But I think you're right. There's more 49ers fans in Los Angeles than there are Chargers fans, right?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a lot of red and gold out there in the stands.
Mm-hmm. It was always like that when the 49ers even played in San Diego, where there's a lot more Chargers fans, I think, than there is in L.A. And I remember going to games at Petco watching San Francisco Giants versus the San Diego Padres. That felt like a home game for the Giants every time.
Oh, you get the Let's Go Giants chant all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Padres fans trying to out-chant the Giants fans, and it just was not happening.
Doesn't work. Yeah, it never worked.
Let's get to the mailbag, It's mailbag time. Okay, let's get this started with, let's go to Demetrio on Twitter. He says, hey, Brian, I've got a two-part mailbagger for you. Do you agree the team suffers from a lack of discipline? If so, is it time for coach to hire an offensive coordinator so we can focus on squaring away the team and not just play calls? That's an issue. I think that is talking more about all the penalties, right?
I was going to say, if anything, it's the defense that might be lacking discipline.
True. Very true.
I feel like a lot of those penalties are defensive calls, right?
They are. A lot of penalties on the defensive side of the ball. And also on the defensive side of the ball, the all gas, no breaks becomes a lot of times just gassed. The 49ers come out early and you can see they're active and they're moving fast. And very quickly, I've noticed that, you know, all of a sudden it's like, okay, they're not moving as fast anymore.
Right. Yeah. They're not rotating in enough guys. Or is it just that they're giving up yards, and so they're long drives and they're on the field more, and the offense isn't, you know, holding the ball very much? Is it a time of possession thing? Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. They definitely look like they slow down pretty quickly.
Jamie on Twitter, he says, as I watched these last three games, I realized that the front office thought they surrounded Jimmy G with more talent than they did. With that said, don't you think now they have to address areas before he even comes back?
I don't know. Has the offense been the problem? I still don't think it has been.
I can see where you look at Pierre Garçon. He's on the wrong side of 30. As much as we all like Marquise Goodwin, he's not a number one. He's a number two guy, right? Dante Pettis. He's had a couple of nice flashes, a couple of nice plays so far in the first couple of weeks. You know, there's some development time with young wide receivers. I can see where the 49ers would be. You know, if you ranked just skill position players, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends around the league, the 49ers aren't going to be in the top half of the league as far as just flat-out playmakers go. So it's a fair argument. The question is, are they developing to be there already, or do they need to add a bunch more pieces? I mean, Kyle Shanahan's working with a lot less offensive talent total than he had when he was in Atlanta, for example.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But, I mean, really, let's look at these three games. 16 points, 30 points, 27 points. Yeah, you know, the last one was a little bit of catch up there in the second half, but I mean, that's 73 points in three games. Like that's a good average. It's just the problem is they're giving up 24, 27, and 38. So that's to me, I feel like it's – I like the weapons. I think there's plenty of weapons. Kittle keeps dropping ball. I mean, it seems to happen at least once a game right now. He's looking like Carlos Hyde from a year ago. I feel like he's a young guy. He's developing. Goodwin got hurt in the in the first game pretty early, so he just came back. He looked pretty good. He had flashes on Sunday, and Garcon's just been non-existent. I mean, where's the guy been? He's made just a couple catches here on the season, and yeah, I think you're right, though. I mean, you keep saying it. I keep seconding it. Get Richie James in there. Like, let's see what this guy can do. Let's hype it up a little bit. Breida's, one of the top rushers in the NFL. I don't think it's a lack of weapons. I'm not buying it.
And by the way, when you talk about tight ends dropping the ball, just as long as George Kittle doesn't get to Vance McDonald territory, I think we're going to be okay. But did you see his stiff arm in the Monday Night Football game?
Oh, my God! I shouted when I saw it. I scared my daughter a little bit.
I was like, whoa! Trent Baalke's at home, and he just, took his shirt off. He was like, yeah! Just yelled
That's
out
my
the
guy! Yeah, that was a man right there pushing down someone, a smaller man.
Let's see. Let's go to email. This is from Zeke, a.k.a. North Miami Niner. Shout out to all the Niner fans in Miami. He says, now that our worst fears are all but a reality, can you and Wink redo our schedule prediction with C.J. Beathard as QB1? I don't think we're going to go through the entire schedule right now, but just thinking about the schedule, what was there, what was wins, what was losses, would you reevaluate what the total, what would you put as the over-under for just the record for the 49ers now?
Oh, just quickly looking at, maybe 1, 2, 3, maybe 5 more wins this season.
So they'd be, they would be exactly where they were last year, 6-10.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the schedule. The Bears, that didn't look like such a tough game. Yeah, now it is, the Buccaneers, that's another really tough game. Seahawks still look pretty bad. They beat an even worse Cowboy teams, but the Giants, I don't know. That's still a few weeks away. They've got a lot of time to turn it around. Maybe the Cardinals, they got a new young quarterback. Packers, who knows what's going on there. It's really hard to predict at this point, especially with Beathard. I want to see what Beathard's got this weekend. Let's see what Shanahan can scheme up, and we'll go from there. I think that this Sunday is a very winnable game. Have you seen the spread on this game?
No, I have not.
The Chargers are coming out 10.5-point favorites.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that is surprising. I thought it'd be more like 5.
That's a big NFL
incredible.
Spread.
Incredible. Yeah. That's going to come back down. It's got to.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Holy macaroni. Wow. I might take that.
Not a lot of believers in the 49ers right now, including 49ers fans.
Really.
I've had to talk some people off the ledge, man.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing on Sunday, getting a lot of happy birthday, sad face, cry face. It's all right. It'll be all right.
Let's go to JC real quick to finish this off. And I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want to get your stamp on this one. He said, with Jimmy G out for the season, what do you think about trading for Nick Foles or Tyrod Taylor? CJ is a tough quarterback, but I don't think he has the skills developed yet to lead the Niners as of now. That is from JC. By the way, thanks everybody who's been sending in mailbag questions via email or via Twitter. Nick Foles, Tyrod Taylor, is that a yay or a nay from Nick Winkler?
A definite nay. I don't want to give up any future capital to try to win now. I don't think this team's really set up to win right now. It was all based around one guy, and that was Garoppolo. And yeah, I don't see it.
Let's say the 49ers go on a crazy run, start winning a bunch of games, then Beathard gets hurt. And you have real...
There you go. See, now that's different.
And you have real playoff aspirations. Then you go, okay, let's see if Nick Foles can recapture that Super Bowl magic from last year. And maybe you make a trade like that. But as of now, I don't want any part of any of that. You're definitely not trading.
Or you go after a guy like Bridgewater or something that. You go after a guy who has shown that he can win in the NFL, but is behind somebody he's never going to play in front of unless that guy gets hurt.
Right, exactly. So,
I like that scenario. Not that Beth are getting hurt, but that they win some games.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, a lot of people in the preseason thought Nick Mullins was better than C.J. Beathard anyway, so maybe that's your guy.
So he may get a shot. Yeah, if Beathard gets mildly injured during a game, may get some Mullins time.
And even if they bring in one of these quarterbacks they worked out, they're not going to play next week. So
it'll be a few weeks.
Nick Mullins is one play away from taking NFL snaps right now for the 49ers.
That's crazy. I hate that.
Let's leave on that note, shall we?
Thanks for bumming me out, man. You pulled a mark right there.
Hey, after, what was that, the second preseason game? There was a lot of Nick Mullins fans, man.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
All right. Thanks,
I
Nick.
I was one of them. He looked good. Against those third and fourth stringers.
I liked a lot of what I saw from Nick Mullins. I got no problem with Nick Mullins being the number three quarterback. Being the QB1, you know, it's rough. 49ers in a tough spot right now. We're going to have to start looking for – I think that's going to be a segment, the silver lining segment every Tuesday that we have Nick Winkler on throughout the season. Look for some things that
– we'll talk each other into it, into something good.
Absolutely. All right, Nick, thanks for joining
me
once
totally
again.
I'm totally sold on Beathard. Yeah, thanks, buddy. My pleasure.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a Locked On Chargers crossover episode. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.